We're going to be talking about the feasts of the Lord, and there's a reason why that we're going to be talking about the feasts of the Lord. You think I'm moving away from Revelation? I'm not. This puts us right smack dab in the middle of it, and I'm going to explain to you why. How many of you have called on so far that there is a unique significance to the number seven in the Bible? It's used over and over and over and over again. The Lord created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh He rested. The number seven is the number of completion, perfection, all of those things. In our study of the book of Revelation, seven appears a bunch. There are seven churches. There are seven seals. There are seven trumpets. There are seven bowl judgments. Everything surrounds the number seven. Might interest you to know that there was seven feasts of the Lord. Some have taken the feasts of the Lord to try to conclude when the rapture is to take place. And some use that as a teaching tool in that. I'm not saying that the feast of the Lord determines when the rapture takes place, and I want to qualify some things this way. Most of you know that the Bible declares this. No man knows the day nor the hour of the Lord's return. Did you know that? Now, I've heard some argue this way, and they have a point. It says no man knows the day nor the hour. It does not say that no man knows the year or the month. Does it imply that? It does imply that. I hasten to say, no man knows when the Lord is to return. Can I tell you? Jesus could return 100 years from now. He could also return in the next 5 minutes.
Yes.
Are you ready to go? Is the question. And that's the teaching of Christ. Constantly be watching. Constantly be ready. Because you don't know the day nor the hour. It could be now. Those are the implications of the teachings of Christ. Concerning the feast of the Lord that belongs to Israel, many don't know a whole lot about the feasts because they say that's to Israel, not to the church. I want you to listen to what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day. The feasts of the Lord are about holy days. Don't let no man judge you in respect of a holy day or of the new moon. Now that's interesting. There's a whole lot in the Bible about stars, the moon, the sun, all of the things in the heavens that we can see, the first heaven. There's all kinds of information in the Bible about it. Why would it mention the new moon? Or of the Sabbath days. That's interesting as well. Now, this is the thing that I want you to see. These things are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. In other words, all of the feasts of the Lord point to one thing and one thing only, and that's the life of Jesus Christ. Israel can't see that. Do you know why they can't see that? Because blindness has happened in part to Israel, according to the book of Romans. Did you know that in Israel now there are already plans to rebuild the temple? There's already plans to restore the sacrifice. Why? Because they're still looking for their Messiah. I found something interesting about the feasts of the Lord, and I don't know how deep you've went into your study of the feasts of the Lord, but there's interesting things about the feasts of the Lord. The way the feasts are arranged, it was literally around the agricultural calendar. For example, there is the spring feasts, then there is a break, and there's the fall feasts. Four feasts happen in the spring. Three feasts happen in the fall. So what would happen is they would come together and celebrate the feasts. This may be interesting to you. The first four feasts that happened in the spring took 50 days. 50 days. From Passover to Pentecost, 50 days. About 35 to 40 days in the fall. Do you know what that means, basically? It means that I think a week's vacation isn't enough. First thought that comes to my mind. Listen, this happened during a time when they didn't get in the car to drive to Jerusalem. They had to hoof it. Are y'all with me? So, their vacation was centered around worshiping the Lord. Hello? They didn't go lay out on a sandy beach. They didn't go see the leaves turn. It wasn't family reunion time. The family was already united in one purpose, and that is worshiping the Lord. Amen. 50 days in the spring. And then guess what? Guess what they did after that? They went to work. And they worked from daylight till sundown, not 5 days a week, 6 days a week. If you figure it from the time the sun comes up to the sun goes down, if you're working less than about 70 hours a week, you're already semi-retired. I'm just telling you the way that life was in the Scripture. Okay? They rested one day a week. They worked 6 days a week. But when it come time for the feasts, they gathered in Jerusalem and took 50 days to worship the Lord. Now, I want to show you these feasts real quick. I'm not going to get into Jesus. I'm not going to have time to get into Jesus, the prophet, priest, and king. But there is a correlations there with the feast. I wanted to show you the seven feasts of the Lord real quickly and we'll be done. First, there was the feast of Passover, which represents the death of Christ. How many of you know what Passover is? Happened when Israel was in Egypt and the plagues came and God spoke to Moses and told Moses, tell the people to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorposts. And when the angel passes by, when he sees the blood, he'll pass over you. Right? So the feast of Passover was established back during that time. You might find it interesting to note that Jesus was crucified at Passover. You with me? So you have the feast of Passover, Exodus 12, 3 through 5. We're not going to have time to get there, but that's what you'll learn about the feast of Passover. Then you have the feast of unleavened bread, which represents the burial of Christ. A lot of information about unleavened bread. Matter of fact, what we may do is give you this today, come back and put the meat to it next week. But in Exodus 12, 14 through 17, you got the feast of unleavened bread. Now watch this. When the Jews are celebrating Passover, here's what they do. This is part of what they do. They take 3 pieces of unleavened bread. Okay? In the centerpiece, they cut it in half. And they hide that part that they cut off. They don't even know why they're doing it. It's just part of the ceremony. I'm telling you, this is the way they celebrate Passover even now. Okay, now what is unleavened bread? Unleavened bread is bread that cannot be corrupted. Please tell me y'all are listening to me. It's bread that cannot be corrupted. Did you know that Jesus not only died, but he was buried? And the burial is just as much a part of the gospel as his death is. But while he was in the tomb, his body did not corrupt. It was hidden. Now there's a whole lot of things about unleavened bread. What is it that unleavened bread does? It doesn't contain any yeast, so it cannot rise. The feast of unleavened bread represents the burial of Christ. I love this one, the feast of first fruits. It represents the resurrection of Christ. Amen. Matter of fact, Paul put it this way, he is the first fruits of those that have risen again. The first fruits of those that have been resurrected. I'm telling you, if you study this out, here's the scriptures. Leviticus 23, 10 through 12 gives you the feast of first fruits. Everybody say, I'm following you. So far, here's what you have in the feasts of Israel. You have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They celebrate it and have no idea what they're celebrating. How many of y'all been saved? Can I tell you, if we'd start celebrating that, we're liable to have revival over the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We did a podcast yesterday. We normally do today. We did it yesterday with a pastor from Havana, Cuba. His name was Pastor Abel. I can't even pronounce his last name. And he pastors a church of about 500 in Cuba. And they're poor as Job's turkey. He ain't got two nickels to rub together. And I was asking him about his church, and he was talking about how they gathered in little homes everywhere, you know. And here's what he did, his preaching. He went out in the streets and he gathered the drug addict, the prostitute, the alcoholic, and he said, we just began to preach to them the love of Jesus. Y'all are not listening to a thing I'm saying. And he built a church off of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what he told me? He said, we don't worry too much about theology there. All we know is that God loves us. Jesus died for us and he wants to save us. He said, I just go tell that to everybody I can. He said, I get loudspeakers and we do that. He says, matter of fact, while I'm over here with y'all, last night we had two 15-year-old boys out in the streets preaching and 20 people gave their heart to Christ. You know what I told him? I said, may God use you to stir America. So, are y'all with me? So here you got the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first fruits. Then you got the Feast of Pentecost. That represents the ascension of Christ. Because at Pentecost, Jesus left. But something else happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came. You with me? Jesus left, but the Holy Spirit came. And I'm going to go real quick here because I've got to get to something real quick. All right, so watch this. At Pentecost in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit come, and you are now experiencing the day of Pentecost every day. I can prove that to you in the Word of God. A lot of dispensationalists would agree with it. But Peter said, this is that. This day is that day that Joel spoke of when the Holy Spirit would come, and that entered the age of grace at that moment. 3,000 people gave their heart to Jesus. The church was established and the gospel is still being preached. We're still in the day of Pentecost. Right? 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. I'd challenge everybody here, take about a 50-day vacation and worship God. Worship Him over what He's done for you. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again. And He's coming back. Amen. Because at His ascension, the angels came and they said, why are you looking up? This same Jesus that's going up is going to come down. right? Yes. Which leads you to the next feast. Here's where it gets a little interesting. Feast of Trumpets. Leviticus 23, 23 through 27 says this represents a lot of affliction. There's a lot of affliction in that. Matter of fact, in that passage, it goes right into the Feast of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, and it says that their souls was afflicted. Sounds a whole lot like tribulation, doesn't it? When did Paul say that Jesus was coming back? I'm just giving you this, 1 Corinthians 15. He said, at the last trump. Yeah. Feast of Trumpets, ceremonially speaking, they blowed 100 trumpets. The last trump was called the trump of awakening. Paul said that at the last trump. Now there's a lot of people who say, well, you know, there's seven trumpets in the Bible, but what? Wait a minute. Those trumps wasn't celebratory trumpets. Those trumpets are trumpets of wrath. And if you've been born again, you've not been appointed to wrath. If you can't shout over that, you're dead and need to get saved all over again. You've not been appointed to wrath if you're a Christian. So those trumpets in the book of Revelation ain't for you. I find it interesting that Paul said at the last trump, he's going to come. And as a matter of fact, Paul said it this way in another place, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the trump of God. And how loud is that trumpet? Well, it's going to wake the dead. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be called up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'd interest you to know that the Feast of Trumpets is about to start September the 16th. I'm just throwing that out there. Don't think I don't know when my surgery is, because I'm praying the Lord comes in September. Huh? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Don't think I'm not praying for his return. Yesterday I was outside talking to Joe Barrett on the phone. I was looking up at the sky while we was talking. I don't even know how I got clued into the conversation, but I was looking up and I said, boy, Lord, come now. Beautiful day. Sun was a-shining. Man, wouldn't that be wonderful if he'd just come? Hey, is he coming on the Feast of Trumpets? No man knows the date or the hour, but I'm just giving you a rundown. Okay? Because after the church is gone, great affliction starts. The time of Jacob's trouble starts. So you've got the Feast of Trumpets. Then you have the Feast of Atonement. It represents Israel's completion. See, watch this. The Jews are celebrating every bit of this, and they have no idea what they're celebrating. But they will one day. They're going to. During the time of Jacob's trouble, many are going to be turned to Christ. Many are going to say, Jesus is the Messiah. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Augustine said it. He quoted, this is his quote, that the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. And if you study it with that perspective, you'll understand it. Israel's blinded right now, but not for long. The Day of Atonement comes during the time of Jacob's trouble and during the time of tribulation. And what God is doing is he is taking Israel and putting them at one with himself. Just like it happened to you when you got saved. Did you know that when you got saved, what was happening was Jesus, who was suspended between heaven and earth, reached up and grabbed the hand of the Father. And he reached down and grabbed my hand. And he put my hand into the hand of the Father and made me at one with him. No man can pluck me out of his hand, because Jesus did that. Are you with me? The Feast of Tabernacles. It represents the kingdom age. When Jesus will come and set up his kingdom on the earth and rule and reign, and we'll tabernacle with him. And Jesus said, "And I will be your God, and you will be my people." Some use the Feast of the Lord to describe and define when Jesus is coming. I tell you this, I don't know the day nor the hour. But I know starting this month, you enter into the fall feasts. The Feast of Trumpets is about to start. And I'm just maybe wondering, somewhere around the 1st of October, when that last trump is ceremonially sounded, if maybe that might be the time that Jesus would come back in the middle of the air and say, "Come on up here." Could that be why the Lord said, "You're healed"? You say, "Well, what if he don't come?" Then I'll keep looking for him. And I know he'll walk with me. And he'll walk with you. And he'll walk with AJ. And he'll walk with Felicia. And if we put our trust in the Lord, no darkness will prevail over our light.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Think about your vacations, I guess, is the only one. I think I'm going to take me a vacation. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure they've already planned for me to take one involuntarily. But during that time, could I celebrate Passover all the way down to Tabernacles? I think I'm going to make a study out of that. I think that'll help me heal. Couldn't there be healing there? Lord, I'll celebrate Passover with you at the beginning, where death is swallowed in victory. Whew. I think during this time, Lord, I'll get all that leaven out of me. Maybe first fruits. I'll enjoy walking in newness of life, raised to sit with him in heavenly places. Yeah. Oh, and then here comes Pentecost. The wonderful Holy Spirit anointing afresh and anew. Yeah. Maybe I'll hear trumpet blasts. The sounds of heaven filling my soul. I think I'm going to celebrate being at one with the Father. And then I'm going to take this time and slip right into tabernacling with God, where kingdom power is released. Every one of their feasts points straight to Jesus. And we already know him. Amen?
Amen.
Father, bless your word. Bless it to our hearts. Get us ready. Get us ready, Lord. Have your way. We love you. We adore you. We worship you. And today, I pray, God, today you'll impart strength, courage, faith, mercy. May we receive mercy. And we give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.